In his book, Living on the Border of the Holy, Renewing the Priesthood of All, theologian L. William Countryman uses the image of borderlands to talk about our encounters with God, places and moments when we can sort of peer across from our everyday world into another world, a world which is the true foundation of our world, a world that is both everywhere present and always a mystery. Countryman names the work of visiting these borderlands and then returning with what we have discovered as priestly work. Not priestly as in me, titled and collared and ordained, but priestly as in all of us. All of us called to encounter the holy and to share that encounter with one another. Now, some people, Countryman says, are more obviously priestly in this way. People, for example, whose whole life's work is about discovery. Scientists, artists, philosophers, even theologians. People who are dedicated to nurturing discovery in others, teachers and mentors and parents. And also people whose lives are lived on the border, whether by virtue of who they are or because society has put them there. And as we seek to live our own priestly calling within and beyond the church, we would be wise to pay attention to the teaching and example of such people. The story we heard from Acts with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is a story about priesthood in this way. And I can't read it without reference to somebody in my own life who was priest to me. A dear friend and colleague and the queer theologian, Donald Boisvert, who is sadly no longer with us, but basking fully in the holy afterlife. Donald spoke of the Ethiopian eunuch as being a model for the church, full of outrageous faith and flair. Outrageous faith and flair. And we will come back to that. But first, let's acknowledge the good work of Philip, the apostle and evangelist, who most of us might see at first glance as the real teacher in this story, the real priest, the figure we are called to emulate. And he is indeed a good person to emulate. He allows the Spirit to take him to a surprising place, that wilderness road, and to encounter a surprising person, an outsider, someone wholly other to Philip's regular community. And to share the good news of Jesus with this person and welcome them into the body of Christ, recognizing that the body of Christ has room even for outsiders. Philip has all the signs of being the main character, the person in the story who has a name, but no need for any other identifying markers about his race or his gender or his nationality. He's the one who can do the explaining, the one who opens the gate, the one on a mission from God. And we are accustomed to identifying with main characters. But what happens if instead we see ourselves in that other equally crucial, equally active, equally priest-like character? Full of outrageous faith and flair. As a character, this person blurs a lot of lines. He's a man, but with an asterisk. As a eunuch, his sexual identity does not fall neatly into man-woman binary categories. He is an Ethiopian, representative of foreign lands, the ends of the earth in biblical imagination. But he is devoted to the God of Israel, traveling great distances to worship in the temple in Jerusalem and poring over a scroll of Isaiah. He is a servant. The fact that he is a eunuch tells us that his relationship to the Candace, the queen, is not one of a job that he can lay down and pick up as he wishes. He is a servant. But he is a servant with access to significant wealth and power. He has authority. But he is eager to receive instruction from a stranger with no apparent authority of his own. This person lives on the borderlands. And so when Philip welcomes him into the church, he does something more than illustrate the church's openness, which is a good thing to illustrate, but he also reveals the church's true form. For the Ethiopian eunuch's arrival reveals that the church is also a category-blurring, boundary-crossing, God-loving body. And anytime anybody or any group calls themselves church and bars the way for someone who didn't belong or tried to put someone back in a box, they have revealed themselves to not actually be church. But modeling ourselves on the Ethiopian eunuch demands that we not only welcome boundary breakers, but that we become boundary breakers, challenging lazy categorizations of people and communities and behaviors wherever we find them, embracing the wideness, the wildness of God's creation in one another, in ourselves, and in our world. Us, them, here, there, man, woman, center, margin, nature, humanity, sacred, profane. Reality is bigger and more beautiful than such as these. There is, however, one characteristic of the Ethiopian eunuch that is not blurry at all. He wants to know God better. He has traveled a long and difficult way to worship at the temple. He has a scroll of Isaiah, and scrolls would have represented a significant investment. He is not just reading it. He is wondering about it, seeking to understand it. And he is so eager to learn that he is willing to listen to a stranger who shows up on the wilderness road, dusty and sweaty, and bearing no credentials, no letter of introduction, no scroll of his own. But the Ethiopian eunuch makes room in his chariot and opens his mind and his heart to hear what Philip has to say. And so the church is not the only thing whose true identity is revealed that day. So too is the Ethiopian eunuch's. He sees himself in the good news of Jesus, this category blurring man who contains human and divine, heaven and earth, suffering and power, death and life. He sees that the way of Jesus, the way of sacrifice and forgiveness and unconditional love is the way of God. And he hears an invitation into that way. And he leaps to accept it. Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? That is how you ask a question when you already know the answer, and when you will brook no opposition. What is to prevent me from being baptized? And so Philip accepts the invitation and baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch, who comes up out of the water rejoicing in his new life. Just imagine if we modeled ourselves on the Ethiopian eunuch. Learners first, teachers second. Explorers rather than experts. Making room to listen to others rather than just inviting them to listen to us. What transformation might the Spirit have in store for us? What might be revealed about reality? What invitation might we hear into the way of God? What fruits, to borrow Jesus' metaphor for a moment, what fruits might we produce? The Ethiopian eunuch reminds us that our faith is outrageous, to return to my friend Donald's word. That it crosses boundaries and bursts categories and fills hearts and demands a response. That it is bigger than expected, bigger than appropriate, perhaps, bigger than comfortable, almost certainly. The Ethiopian eunuch invites us to join him in the borderlands, that holy and life-giving place where truth is revealed and where we are transformed, and then to return, liberated and liberating in the name of God, a community of priests.